like talent, you're in the right place. Welcome to another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my guy, Keith Sanchez. Keith, baby, what's going on?
Mic check. My mic is hot, so you know it's time to talk some football. DP, what's going on?
Hey, man, just living the dream as always, brother. You know, we had ACC and SEC Media Week this week, and I just, me, you know, being with our guy Joe Marino down in Charlotte for, you know, taking in the ACC Media Day, and like you said, you were able to watch and keep up with the SEC Media Day days, because they had three as we went on throughout the week. So we got some good stuff to talk about, man, you know, with the coaches, the commissioner, everything else is going on in college football. But before we get into that, let's give a quick shout out to our partners at BetOnline. As they continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information, find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. With training camp right around the corner, BetOnline has opened up odds for team wins, division futures, and of course, the Super Bowl. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get into the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Keith, as always, you know, I love that last part, because it segues us right into it all. Because, you know, the games are getting ready to start, man. We're getting close to fall camp in college football. And, you know, you smell it, right? You know, summertime, you usually take a whiff around your neighborhood and somebody's grilling, because it feels, it's summertime. You know it's summertime with people out there flipping burgers, got the dogs and the wings and everything on the. Now you take a sniff outside and it's like, I smell freshly cut grass. I smell the pig skin getting leathered up. I smell football, Keith. And to get to fall camp and to get to the season, we got to go through the media days. And SEC Media Day, you know, Media Days and week was this week. And Keith, the SEC, I mean, you've alluded to it. It's the big dog, right? You know, you're an SEC brethren yourself. So, you know, we've talked about it a lot. And the SEC commissioner is maybe, I want to hear your thoughts on this, maybe the most powerful man in college football right now. Because this conference is the conference that everyone's looking at it possibly trying to join, right? You're talking about a two-league super conference type deal. What are your thoughts? How do you feel in terms of where we are, the state of college football, and the power that the SEC commissioner has right now, Greg Sankey?
Yeah, so let's start off with talking about the rest of the conferences, right? So we had the ACC, we've had the Big 12, right? And how they kick these media days off, obviously the commissioner comes on first, and he kind of sets the tone, sets the narrative for, I guess you would say, for the coaches, for the fan base, and just for the conference, right? And I would say this, watching last week, we had the Big 12, right? And we did our podcast. We talked about how that commissioner, you know, he knew that he came off as though he knew he had to, make things happen, right? And then you fast forward to this week, and, I thought of two words when I was listening to Commissioner Sankey. And, you know, it probably took him 30 minutes to say this, but it really only needed two words. And really all he had to say was, "We good." We good. Like, and that's all he had to say, right? Because, man, you talk about being in a powerful position. Like 12 of the last 16 college football champions, right, have come from the SEC. The SEC dominates in track, right? Like, they're average to above average in basketball. They have a blue blood program in Kentucky. Florida emerges every now and then. Their gymnastics is off the chain with, you know, LSU and Florida. So baseball, right, is off the charts. I believe, you know, a SEC team won in baseball. So, man, you're talking about just hitting on all cylinders right now. The SEC, they're not lacking for anything in any particular sport. So if you're asking, man, okay, the most powerful man in the SEC, right, and then the SEC is the most powerful conference in football, and then you ask me, is he the most powerful man in football, I would say yes. Like, if you get rid of all of the teams in the SEC, right? Like, and you eliminate those guys, then what are we looking at for the rest of the college football landscape? Some of the biggest you know, fan bases reside in the SEC, man. You still have a Tennessee team that, you know, when Peyton Manning and those guys were there, right? Like, they were packing out 100,000 people stadium. But, you know, it's just kind of waiting for them to come back up. So, man, the fan base is just so is so, you know, rampant. They try to get after it. That the SEC definitely rules college football. And if that's the case, you have to see that kind of that the Commissioner Sankey, he's kind of dictating the pace of this. I don't think the NCAA, I think once the NCAA let NIL go up in flames, they took their hands off of all of this, right? Because once NIL was pretty much kind of, you know, got introduced, then that's when you've seen the conferences, you know, kind of the realignment situation, Texas and Oklahoma's leaving. So now we're starting to see that, yeah, like it's up to these colleges. And the SEC definitely has the most powerful colleges in football right now.
Nah, and everything you said is true, man, because at the end of the day, like you said, adding two more powerhouses in Oklahoma and Texas, like to take the best – programs basically from the Big 12, right? Like, you know what I mean? And you think about, like, you talk about with NIL, and we all know if there's any place that, if there's any team and program that's not hurting for cash, it's Texas. So then you pull that from the Big 12 to the SEC to add just more finances in terms of NIL opportunities, and it makes it difficult for the rest of college football to stand in the mirror and hype themselves up every year, because when you look at everything else, the SEC has ruled it. So, and I mean, at the same time, it's like, okay, if a team is available, and you know, Commissioner Sankey's like, we want you to join our conference, it's like, you know, was it? I'm blanking on the movie, but you know, it's like that Italian mob boss that gives you that offer that you just can't refuse. So it's like, right. You just like, you see, you want us to join you. It's like, I mean, you either with us or against us. I don't really see how that's going to benefit you to be against the SEC. Like, you're going to join. And it's like, it's tough, man. Like, it's with all the changes and with the realignment and everything else and making it where SEC is the blue blood. It's like the things that me and Joe talked about this, you know, in the car. It's like almost like we're about to see where the old school pageantry of college football is about to deteriorate, Keith. Like the rivalry games, you know, OU, OK State, which we talked about on the previous episode. You know, OK State's still going to be in the Big 12. As far as we know, you know, anything can change at this point. But, you know, Oklahoma, once they get into the SEC, that's more than likely done with, right? Like, if Clemson went to this, there was talks about Clemson going to the SEC, and they said if Clemson went to the SEC, that the Clemson and South Carolina game, and someone who's a South Carolina resident and have been here like my whole life, it don't matter what their record are, Keith. Like, either team, when they play, that's all bragging rights for the state,
right?
Like,
right.
Those teams, both teams could be 4-8 coming into that matchup, and whoever wins get the bragging rights. Like, not only did we beat you and go to 5-8, but we beat you. So it doesn't – nothing matters after that. Like, South Carolina's been bad, a bad team for so long. But if they can knock off Clemson, their season has been made. That's all that matters. Like, I'm telling you right now. That's their Super Bowl, man. When it's Clemson, South Carolina week, you're going to see all the flags, the maroon flags. You're going to see the orange and white flags. All the store owners going to stake their claim of who they rock with. You're going to see gear being put up in window. It's unreal, man. So it's like, that's why I wanted to pose that to you. How do you feel about that with the realignment and stuff, and with the SEC being the big dog and pulling other conferences, teams, and so forth and so on, does losing the pageantry of it, the history that we kind of grew up on, does it bother you at all?
I understand people, you know, wanting, you know, to keep it, right? But, I mean, things happen, right? Like, in losing one tradition could be the start of a new tradition, right? Like, and it could be more exciting. Like, I remember, you know, being at LSU, right? And that moment, it was a LSU versus Alabama rivalry, right? Like, that was the two big teams. LSU looked to beat Alabama every year. Then I remember talking to some players that played at LSU from that 2005 to 2008 range. And these are prominent LSU guys, like, you know, team captains, everything, right? So I asked them about Alabama, and they said they didn't give a damn about Alabama, right? Because Alabama wasn't good during that period of time. They were focused on Tim Tebow, Percy Harvin, you know, the Florida team, right? Like Urban Meyer was their rival. So, man, and not to say that either rivalry, one was better than the other, they were both great for the LSU fan base, right? So I want to say, like, I'm open to new things. Like with the conference realignment, I got on the whole Ohio State-USC thing last week, right, about the geographical part of it, right, which don't make sense, won't ever make sense to me, but whatever. But just to know that you as a college football fan, that you have the potential to get USC, Ohio State every year, right? Like, that's something new, but doesn't that, you know, make you excited, right? Like, wouldn't you rather see a USC, Ohio State game versus a USC, Cal game or something like that? So, man, I think that it's definitely going to be some new things that come about. Some going to be good, some not so good, but I think ultimately it's going to end up okay. I think once we get down to these mega conferences, I think once you get to mega conference, you may still be able to schedule out of conference and make sure you keep your rivalry so Oklahoma and Oklahoma State can do what's best for them, if you get what I'm saying, as far as keeping that rivalry going. But, man, I definitely think it's going to be positive. And then I say be patient, because remember when Texas and Texas A&M, you know, when Texas A&M joined the SEC, everybody said, man, they're not going to play each other no more. The rivalry's gone. Okay, Texas will be back in 2025. So the rivalry wasn't there for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Right, so right. It's like, let's be patient. Like, let's relax. Let's see how this comes out. I get, you know, people fighting against change, but, man, all change isn't bad, baby. Like, let's see where this goes. Let's see where this goes.
No, you're right, though. And because I'm one of those people, I've always loved the pageantry aspect of it. It's just kind of something always from, like, just from the childhood, growing up watching it, you know, just seeing those things. But you bring up that interesting point. It's just from the point that I didn't even think about myself. It's like, okay, like you talk about, well, OSU, you know, Ohio State and USC, that could become the next big rivalry. So it's like the realignment is definitely pose and present opportunities for new rivalries to, you know, be manifested. So it's like, I'm, you know, you swayed me there, Keith. You swayed me, baby. I'm not gonna lie to you. You did, because I was sitting there thinking about that. You know, days. I was like, man, like, you telling me we don't get this rivalry? Like, come on, man. Like, that's what college football's been about, man. Like, but at the same time, you're right, because like you said, at the end of the day, with the change and, like I said, we don't know who else will jump ship and what will become of the Big 12, what will become of the Pac-12, which I think they just killed all talks about combining, you know, or doing business together, I guess. They went away from the negotiating table. So we don't know what is going to happen, but we know that the SEC is, of course, thriving and always will thrive. And the Big 10 is now on the up and up in terms of thriving as well. So it's definitely going to be interesting to just see how everything unfolds and manifests. But looking at Coach Lane Kiffin, a Saban disciple, he's coached against Saban, he's been on the staff, he's done a lot of things. And he made some statements about NIL. Like, it's kind of almost, you know, sitting through the conference, the ACC media day out that we were at, it became redundant on how certain coaches felt about NIL and boosters and recruiting. It's just, you know, I think a lot of them feel similar to Saban and even Lane. Does Lane have a point? Because he basically stated that, and put it to paraphrase, that it's legalized cheating now. Like, you got boosters, you got, you know, with NIL, that's going to significantly sway recruits. Is that a fair point, in your opinion?
Yeah, so the phrase, right? Like, it doesn't make sense, because if it's legal, then it isn't cheating, right? Like, if it's legal to do it. But I think that's just a example of where coaches are with this, right? Like, some of them, because they've been coaching in college football 10, 20, 30 years, that some of these actions They're just not used to doing. So they don't know how far to push the envelope, which is not their fault, right? Like it is 100% not their fault. This is all on the NCAA and, you know, the higher powers that be for placing a structure, right? And I think that's going back to Nick Saban. That was Nick Saban's biggest gripe, right? That this is a free for all and nobody knows the rules. So everybody's allowed to play a different game, which somewhat isn't fair, right? And I think what Lane was trying to say was that, yeah, like morally, we've come up in a certain system. And then now we're all trying to figure out, like, hey, is this okay? Like, they're almost like double clutching or like, you know, they're sneaking and doing stuff when they can just do it out in the open. You know, like yeah. you don't have to wait till it's nighttime to go do this. Like, nah, you can just do this out in the open, bro. Like, it's perfectly fine. And I think that that's the biggest issue. And I would even say this, right? Like, the NCAA dropped this bomb on college football I think it was August 1st, right? And for colleges, man, I always talk about how big recruiting / talent acquisition is. And August 1st came July 1st, whenever it started, that was NIL. There were no guidelines as far as how it can go. You seen certain teams like Texas A&M go pedal to the metal, right? And they landed the number one recruiting class. And sometimes one recruiting class can turn around the future of your program. And you ask, okay, this is Ole Miss, right? But remember years ago, man, I can't remember who the head coach was. It might have been Hugh Freeze. And they had that one great recruiting class. And I believe that was, I don't know if that was DK Metcalf, Laramie Tunsil. Like, they had one crazy recruiting class.
Elijah Moore and a lot of those guys. It was just
a bunch of dudes, right? And guess what happened? Ole Miss was consistently in the top 10. So I think a lot of these coaches a year later, they're kind of griping a little bit because they're like, man, like, if I knew I could have did that, I would have. You kind of get what I'm saying? Because it makes that much of a difference. So, man, it's extremely tough. And I feel for those coaches. But I think Lane is right in the sense of the fact of that they need to regulate it. Now, transitioning, right? Like, because now we're talking about the boosters. And when I heard him speak about this, this was something I did not think about. Because obviously, like I said, I worked in college football. I knew that NIL was going to be a blank show, you know, for them, right? Like, I knew it was going to go crazy in college football. But one thing I did not think about was the boosters and then them dictating players that's playing on the field, right? Because in college football, it happens at a very minute level, but it's not allowed to be exploited how it is now. And when you think about boosters, you know, if they decide that, hey, I like this kid, I want to pay him $250,000, and then the head coach is sitting there like, man, well, okay, you can go get him, but he's not that good, right? Like, so now you have to explain to the booster that their investment cannot touch the field, right? And then that same booster has connections and with the program, right? With the board of directors and other people that can technically, you know, that may sway to get the head coach fired, right? Like, so it's such a tough situation because now you're not allowing me to do my job as the head coach because you decided that you wanted to give a kid $250,000, right? Like, allow me to figure that out. And then I know Lane mentioned that he said, like, some type of salary cap or something, which I agree 100%. Like, pay the players and give it some type of salary cap or you know, but it has to be organizing on a playing field and definitely boosters. I think I would allow them to put money in, but once they put their money in, they can't determine who the money goes to. That's the issue, right? Like, because now
it's a donation. It doesn't give power.
Yeah, you get a donation, and then the football program is allowed to divvy this money out to whatever player they feel as though is their best. Like, it's $1 million pot, and then here's your million-dollar recruiting kind of salary, right? And then now you go get the recruits, and you hand out that money as the head coach how you see fit. But allowing a booster to go over a head coach's authority, that's just a recipe for disaster, and that's involving even more politics. Like, everybody, you almost liken it to the Cowboys, right? Because Jerry Jones does it all, right? Jerry Jones can tell you what to do if you disagree with him. He can fire you. He can, you know, trade for the players. He can cut this player. He can decide to start that player. And that's why we have such an issue with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, just imagine them. There being 100 Dallas Cowboy programs, you know, across the country. Like, that would be a disaster for college football.
No, and And you bring that point up, and that's not a point that I think people even think about, right? Like you said, a booster could legitimately, they not only do they have the money to pay the NIL part of it for the recruit, but they got the type of power in the politics aspect to go over a coach and say, listen, that's my money right there. That's the kid that I put my stock in and my investment in. I need him on the field. So it's like, then it becomes an issue. Not just with the coaching staff, but if you get the coach fired, now it's like some issues with the players, Keith. Like that thing could go south really fast.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, and that's the scary part for the coaches, right? Because we're talking about boosters, and just to kind of, because I try to simplify this as much as possible for the listeners so they can kind of understand the dynamics. A booster is just somebody that's simply been around a program, right? It could be somebody that's been a fan of LSU, goes to the games all the time. So they've been there and they've been the games for 20, 30 years, right? Quite naturally, you're going to meet other people and become friends with other people that are part of the program. So now you have I guess you can call it a clique, right? Like you have a group of friends that's all invested in Ole Miss football. Then one of the friends say, hey, Lane Kiffin didn't want to pay my players. So now he picks up the phone, calls the rest of the boosters, right? And then now the boosters, they know somebody that's on the board of directors at the school, right? And then now they're having that conversation with essentially your boss. And so I just wanted to, like, you know, kind of let our listeners know, like, you know, it's that simple, right? Like, this is not no he wasn't talking about no scientific equation to how you go around the head coaches. Like, no, it's just simply guys being around the program and then a lot of guys with a lot of money and then them influencing the decisions that are getting made on the football field.
No, 100%. Like, I remember hearing this take earlier this week, and it was basically like when it came down to the boosters, like, it makes it – because especially, like, even going back to the point Nick Saban made, he talked about parity in college football, and I'm like, that's never really been a thing, Nick, but okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's never really been a thing.
Never been a thing, bud.
But, you know, okay, you know, SEC has won 12 of the last 16 national titles, if I'm not mistaken. So, again, there has not been parity, but when you think about what the – boosters, like when you got Texas boosters, you know, when you and it starts dipping into recruiting, you got Texas boosters and then you got Northwestern boosters. Who exactly is going to give out the most money in this situation to a recruit? It's going to be Texas. You're not outbidding Texas boosters, you know what I mean? Because
right.
They have a lot of money. That's a different type of money, right? So it's like that becomes an issue, and that's why I understand where Lane come from, and I even agree to it because it takes away, like, you know me, man. I want parity in college football. I want Iowa to have a top five quarterback for once to go with these country fed monsters on the front line, this great run game and underrated receivers. Same thing for freaking Wisconsin, man. They have the blueprint. They have great defenses. They got great offensive lines. They got a monster in the backfield. Then they have this, you know, wet blanket that quarterback, and it's like, well, all this is for nothing because we're not going to go anywhere. We're never going to get to the championship like this. And it's like, and even if we do, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do when we get there? Nothing, because our quarterback's not going to put up 30 points. He might give us 15, and now we got to hope the defense to get the other 15. Like, I want that. I want that shift in culture. But if the boosters are consistently going to be involved in how these recruits are making their decisions, it's like it just makes it a whole – it makes it, impossible. It makes it impossible to have parity in college football if they don't find a way to regulate NIL and keep the boosters from being the sole deciding factor when it comes down to money for these kids to make their decisions. But as always, it's always – like with all the changes, all the stuff in college football, it's always fun to talk about, but – as always, you know, guys, we thank y'all all for all the support, love. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite podcasting network. And again, as we get closer, not just to college football, NFL is right around the corner. Training camp is next week. We're getting everything's getting loaded up, man. So again, holler at our friends over at BetOnline. Put some money in. Tell them we sent you. And when you win, holler at us on social media. Let us know that you got some bucks off of BetOnline. But as always, this is another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Damian Parshall, my guy, Keith Sanchez. And Keith, what's the slogan, baby?
Remember, talent is always the factor.